this is Brock, and you have found your way to the new and improved Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm the entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'll be your guide for everything that's happening this week on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. The best places to find this podcast are at lasvegassun.com/podcasts, where you can also check out the Sun's wonderful sports programs, and at Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to the Sun on the Strip to make sure you don't miss a single episode. You should be listening to this on November 20th, 2019, and Cirque du Soleil's new resident production show, Run, held its world premiere event on November 14th at Luxor. I was there to catch the show and the really big party that came along with it, and so was Las Vegas Magazine editor Ken Miller, who's been covering the Strip for a long time, just like me. Ken's going to join me this week to break down the Run experience, but first, let's do some news. Demolition began on Monday on the original Las Vegas location of the Hard Rock Cafe at the corner of Harmon and Paradise. The iconic themed restaurant first opened here in 1990, and it's been closed since December 31st, 2016. It's part of the Hard Rock Hotel site, of course. The hotel and casino opened in 1995, and as you probably already know, was recently sold to a group that includes Virgin Group founder Richard Branson. The Hard Rock will close right after the Super Bowl for approximately 8 months before reopening about a year from now as Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. If you want the inside scoop on this project, go to allthevegas.com and listen to my Las Vegas Weekly podcast interview with Richard Bosworth, the CEO of the Hard Rock Hotel and the project leader. There's a lot of cool info in that conversation about what Virgin Las Vegas is going to look like and feel like, including a bit of the plan for a really striking and grand entrance to the new resort. That's why the cafe space has to be demolished, so the designers and builders can make better use of the acreage at this site. The Hard Rock Hotel always had a bit of a troubled main entrance for valet and taxi service, partly because the restaurant took up so much space. So this demolition, which should take about 2 weeks, is sort of emblematic of just how different Virgin will be from the Hard Rock we all know so well. And remember, there is another Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas that's open for business. It's right on the Strip in the Showcase Mall across from Park MGM. In less destructive but still explosive news, the volcano at the Mirage has expanded its showtimes. It is now erupting every night at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 p.m. That's actually just adding two more showtimes at 6 and 7. But hey, let's take what we can get when it comes to free shows on the Las Vegas Strip. In other businessy stuff, MGM Resorts International and the Blackstone Group have completed the $4.25 billion sale of the Bellagio to Blackstone, believed to be the biggest deal ever for a strip resort. As part of the transaction, MGM has leased the Bellagio and will continue to manage and operate it. MGM is looking for similar buy and lease back deals with other partners for MGM Grand and Mandalay Bay. And over at the Las Vegas Convention Center expansion site on the north end of the strip, Elon Musk's The Boring Company has started tunneling for the People Mover project that will eventually transport convention attendees throughout its finished 200-acre campus when it's done in January 2021. Enough boring news, let's talk shows. Bruno Mars is coming back to the Strip. He launched a residency at Park Theater while he was still running around the world for his 24 Karat Magic Tour, played a few more Vegas dates when the tour was over. Obviously, this guy loves it here because he's got five new dates on the books for 2020, March 6th and 7th, and April 20th, 24th, and 25th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, November 22nd, and his Park Theater concerts tend to sell out. CeeLo Green is returning for his third Las Vegas residency show. It's called Man in the Mirror, and it opens at the Flamingo in March. There are 16 shows scheduled in the Flamingo showroom next year, stretching into late August, and tickets go on sale Friday. The Grammy Award-winning singer, rapper, and songwriter has performed limited engagements at Caesars Palace and Planet Hollywood in recent years. Several other headliners have added new dates this week. Barry Manilow extends his gig at the Westgate International Theater for a third year, with dozens of shows scheduled from February through November of 2020. Diana Ross has six new dates set for April at Encore Theater at Wynn, and she's revamping her show after a great run there this year, celebrating her 75th birthday. Tickets for those springtime concerts go on sale this Friday as well. And in the same room, Sarah McLachlan is doubling down on her three sold-out shows in 2019, with three more in the new year, February 19th, 21st, and 22nd. And those tickets are also on sale this Friday, November 22nd. Okay, let's get to the grand opening of one of the biggest new shows to hit the Strip in quite a while. And there's no better person to discuss big shows in Las Vegas with than Ken Miller, editor of Las Vegas Magazine. Ken, thanks for sitting in today.
Yeah, great to be here.
So Run opened on October 24th for a preview period, but last Thursday, November 14th, marked the world premiere. There were lots of celebrities turning out. Seemingly most of the Vegas Golden Knights hockey team was there. Mm-hmm. And Cirque du Soleil invited media and VIPs from all over Vegas and all across the country to come check out this very different Las Vegas production show. And Cirque threw a great party, so congratulations to the company on that and on opening its 10th resident show in Las Vegas. But let's talk about our initial reactions to this show, because I have to admit, I had a hard time approaching it without expectations. I had written a lot about Run before it opened, and I think I had a pretty considerable understanding of what its creators were trying to accomplish. But even with that, I still found myself surprised and impressed and even wowed a few times during this big premiere show. What was your initial reaction?
Well, kind of like you. I mean, you write for us as well as other publications, so I had read some of the things that you had written about Run. So I kind of felt like I also had an understanding of what to expect. But the overall effect that I got from the show was one of, like, this is a very different Cirque production than anything we've ever seen before. And to me, that's a really good thing. Cirque has a lot of the bases covered at other shows. If you want to see water, go see O. If you know what I mean? I mean, if you've got a certain preference, Cirque pretty much has you covered. Mm-hmm. And even Michael Jackson's music and the Beatles' music. I mean, there's lots of choices when it comes to Cirque productions. This is unlike anything I've ever seen before. I mean, it's very unique. That's kind of hard to do in this town. This town's done a lot of different kinds of shows. So that being said, it was visually amazing. The use of the theater where Criss Angel's show used to be, and actually the two Criss Angel shows, Criss Angel Believe, which was a Cirque production, and then Criss's own show.
Right.
This theater is, it's not, it wasn't set up by Cirque, or was it built by Cirque originally?
It wasn't, because I know the Blue Man Group originally opened in this room, and I'm sure it's been renovated at least slightly since then, but it was not originally a Cirque du Soleil room.
Well, I mean, the use of the theater space, I thought, was very creative. They used, I mean, literally every nook and cranny of the theater. If there was a little cubby hole up in the corner, someone was up there doing something. There was motion all over the theater, behind you, in front of you, to the side of you, above you. And it was all like an action movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally. I mean, it starts with a movie that you're actually, you're watching a movie, and all of a sudden it breaks the fourth wall and the movie is happening in front of you. And
behind you and around you.
Yeah. But warning to the people in the front, you might be craning your necks quite a bit trying to see what's happening because it happens fast.
It does happen fast. And I was impressed with the way that they used technology to show this full picture no matter where you're sitting. I mean, a lot of shows have performers come out into the audience for a minute or, you know, grab somebody and pull them up on stage for some kind of interaction. But this is, the action is actually happening out in the audience many times during the show, and it's like a scene out there. It's a part of this movie, quote unquote, that's happening. But there's also someone filming that action in the audience. So
exactly.
You can look at the screen up front and you're going to see live footage that's happening a few feet behind you.
Exactly. I mean, and again, the visuals. I mean, you've got the projection of the movie, but you've also got projection of other things happening on the side as the action, the live action is happening in front of you. You've got like amazing stunt work. I mean, these are obviously like world-class stuntmen and women on that stage, getting lit on fire, you know, tumbling and flying over each other. I mean, it's just, and it's everywhere. I mean, you really can't focus on any one given point, which is kind of almost a Cirque trademark at this point, I think, for a lot of their shows.
They're right.
They make it so that you need to go again to see things you might have missed. There's also the use of, like, props. Props are used to great effect, including the car. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot in here that kind of just shows, you know, what Cirque is capable of on a very, compared to everything else they have, kind of a very stationary stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just the stage itself, and they they use it to the best effect they can. Motorcycles are used. I don't want to give too much away, but I think if you are a Cirque fan, if you like action movies, if you're a fan of Robert Rodriguez, who has done some really cool films, mm-hmm. From Dusk Till Dawn, Desperado, he wrote the script for this. So, there's a lot to enjoy here. I found myself just smiling through most of this because I was really enjoying it. Another aspect I really wanted to point out, because this to me is maybe one of the coolest things of this show, it isn't even part of the show. As you enter, you go through this corridor, and I'm not even sure how to describe it, but it's kind of an offshoot of the world of Run. And by the way, the movie Run takes place in Las Vegas. It's a Las Vegas set movie. So this is an only in Vegas type of thing they put together. This really could not be shown anywhere else. But this hallway, it creates this mini universe. It's like you're in an alleyway and you've got all these characters on the side, kind of like, trying to get you to come over, say, hey buddy, come over and take a picture with me. You got a phone booth where the phone rings as you go by. I mean, it really kind of helps set the mood before you even enter the theater. And I'm really hoping that stays part of the show, because it is really cool. I mean, it's something where you can just kind of hang out, take as many pictures as you want. You'll have lots of good photos for your friends and family if you go to see the show. So I really do feel like Cirque, to the best of their ability, used this space to its full extent. I mean, mm-hmm. you really don't feel like there was much left after everything they put together. They really put everything they had into this.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it, as, if you kind of explore each Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas right now, you could look at it as an evolution of the actual stage itself, from, starting with Mystère, where there's things going on from the ceiling and the stage moves around and this different universe is created. Then, of course, you got where the stage is water, which is completely unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then you go to Ka, where the stage is all kinds of different things and moves all over the place.
Yeah.
And now in Run, really the entire theater is the stage, starting with when you're walking. Once you get your ticket, you're in this world now. And I think I've said this exact sentence on this show before, but lots of shows say that they are immersive experiences. I think this may have taken that concept to a much more real, tangible level.
Right. Yeah, I mean, by the same token, though, I have to be full disclosure. I did find certain parts of this show a little disjointed. I mean, this is the first Cirque show that I know that actually has a storyline. You are following a story. And for the most part, I was following the story. But at certain parts, I just got completely lost. And there were certain acts going on that I felt either didn't belong or could have been considerably shortened to kind of keep things moving. Because the whole point of this show, the title of the show is Run. So it's basically motion, motion, motion. And it succeeds at that for the most part. But there are segments where it, for me, just completely stopped. And I hope they do some tweaking and just get that energy flowing through the entire hour, 15 minutes, or however long it is. I think that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the music. The use of music was fantastic in this show. I think I've said that for almost every Cirque show I go to. They even have a DJ that's playing music as you enter the theater. So the music is like almost always part of the show, mm-hmm. even before you actually enter the theater. And yeah, and the use of costumes, color, lighting, it's just, I mean, if you've seen a Cirque show, this is pretty world class stuff. And I think they really brought this this experience and that they've found with other shows and put it to use here.
Yeah, I mostly agree with your assessment. There's just so many elements in Run that have never been part of a Cirque show, and I'm not even talking about the motorcycle stunts or some of those technologies used. There's a voiceover narration mm-hmm. in the show, and it's in English.
Right.
Like, think about that for a minute. Everybody's seen all the Cirque shows. You know what you're talking about.
Right.
There are really well-developed main characters that the audience can relate to and kind of cheer for and cheer against. Yeah. There are opening credits in a live production show, yes. Which I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. I don't think that's been done before. Certainly not like that.
Very clever. Yeah.
There is a pretty fast moving story. I agree with you. I feel like there's a little energy dip, maybe in the middle bit, but it gets started really fast. And it, for the most part, I think it keeps moving, which I wrote in my Sun review. I think that's the defining innovation of this show. That's not new for the strip to have a show that tells a story, but it is new for Cirque to tell a story and design a plot that is so direct. I think Ka is probably the only show that kind of comes close to that approach. Right. But even in that case, you're still in this kind of ethereal world and all sorts of things are happening and you're seeing these scenes as much as you're seeing a narrative. So
Right. This is almost like a hard-boiled detective, you know, those crime thrillers, the way the narration is. It's almost like you expect Humphrey Bogart to be reading some of these lines. It's just very film noirish.
Yeah.
But if you like that sort of thing, if you like Sin City, you'll find a lot to enjoy in this.
Ironic that Sin City, the graphic novel and the film directed by Robert Rodriguez, who wrote the story for Run, is such a big influence and, you know, tonally similar, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I love Sin City. So yeah. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a genre-specific show. And it definitely is something different. We also need to note, again, this show is 75 minutes long. You know, most Cirque shows, and really most of the better-known production shows on the strip in general are closer to the 90-minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
Some are longer. O is longer than 90 minutes.
Right.
And I'm talking about even like the headliner residency concerts. Most of those kind of shoot for 90 minutes. That's kind of the consensus. We're Las Vegas. We want our shows to be this much. We want people to get back out and gamble and drink and eat and do all the other Vegas things. So exactly. 90 minutes kind of the limit. This is 75 minutes. That time difference is considerable. You can tell when you're in here, this is significantly faster. It's absolutely intentional. You know, this show's aiming for a younger audience, and every part of the show speaks to that goal, I think, from the running time to the music to, like you said, the way the entry of the theater is designed. It is immersive, and it's just fast.
Yes. Well, and even when you leave, you can spend some time in that hallway and just hang out. Mm-hmm. I mean, your experience at this show can last pretty much as long as you want it to, honestly. So it is, like I say, it's kind of cool. I'm anxious to see how this does in the short run. I have a feeling that people are really in for a pleasant surprise when they go.
I think so too. I think there's going to be, you know, as with the case with any new show, there's always some like real quick knee jerk stuff. They're like, oh, what is this? I don't understand this. But you know, it is a genre show. It is a more specifically designed show. It's not for everybody. And the people at Cirque say the same thing. You know, we know not everybody is going to love this show, but if you're into action movies, if you're into horror movies, if you're into graphic novels and comic books.
I forgot about the horror elements in this show.
Yeah.
There definitely are horror elements. And
there's some shocking stuff in this show.
Yeah, that you're right. Not going to lie.
I think that's going to catch people by surprise. I don't want to give that away because it did catch me off guard.
Oh, I think a lot of people got caught off guard.
Yeah.
I was looking around. But, I mean, like I said at the beginning, this is a show unlike I have ever seen before. And for that alone, Cirque has to be applauded. They could have just done another copy of what they're already doing. They could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a world-class brand. They probably would have had success with it. They went for something completely different. They wanted to expand the brand and show people what they're capable of. And I applaud them for this. I really hope it succeeds.
Me too. I have a lot of respect for the creative team behind this show and the way they were really empowered to take these risks and go in a different direction. Because like you said, that it didn't have to be that way. But, you know, we've got every kind of the best entertainment on the strip right now. And it is time to try different things and branch out a little bit. And who better to step into that experiment than Cirque du Soleil?
Absolutely.
Ken, thanks as always for being here.
My pleasure. It takes two to make a dream go right. Hey. It takes two to make an arm strong.
Are you ready for the final show?
That's how Donnie and Marie Osmond opened the grand finale of their 11-year residency at the Flamingo on Saturday night, November 16th. I was there. Of course, they gave a great performance. They pretty much stuck to their standard show, although there were a handful of moments when they went off script, riffed a little bit, teased each other a little more than usual, and even got choked up a few times. It was a very emotional show for the Osmonds and for the audience. I mentioned a few of the highlights in my Weekend Rewind column, which you should be reading every Monday on the Las Vegas Sun website. I've seen the show a few times in the last few years, and it's always been highly entertaining, and I always come away thinking how amazing it is that these two performers, who have both been famous since they were very, very young, have been doing this for decades, and they each have multiple careers, from TV to Broadway to putting out records and making really big pop and country hits, and they're still active and out there, but they just kept coming back to Vegas for the last 11 years, probably because they're so good at it, and their show is so sharp and plays to their fans so perfectly.
So many great friends here tonight, so many wonderful people.
We have had the chance to work with some of the greatest stars in show business. By the way, you know what? Let's just say something here out of off script, okay?
Really? I thought it was all off script.
No, we have had the chance to, yes, we are the headliners of this show, but it couldn't have happened without an amazing band,
yep.
Amazing dancers, amazing crew, sound lighting. Lights.
Except for that light, it kicked off tonight. You're so fired.
We just want to say thank you for all the amazing work that everyone has done to make
family.
This show successful.
And you're a lot here.
You know, it was supposed to be, I think you mentioned this earlier, it was supposed to be 6 weeks. And this is our 11th and final show. 11th year and final show. And over those years, Marie and I have been very, very fortunate to receive some amazing awards for this.
You told us, too, before you say that,
yeah.
That we have now done more shows than Celine and Elvis combined.
That's what I heard.
That's
that.
Just here at Flamingo.
I heard that.
And we said, you know, we should count all the shows
It's a record. It's probably a record.
The first time I saw the Donnie and Marie show at the Flamingo was 2 years ago. It was October 4th, 2017. It was the first show I went to after 1 October. The worst day of all time on the Strip. I didn't go to the Country Music Festival where so many people were injured or killed that terrible night, but I did go to the Strip to try to help the Las Vegas Sun team, their news coverage, and it was very difficult. I have to assume that it kind of felt for Las Vegas what September 11th felt like for New Yorkers, in that we weren't sure when Vegas was going to get back to being Vegas. I didn't know. For my part, you know, my job is to just go to these shows and interview these entertainers and kind of bring you these experiences and these stories. And I didn't know if that was going to happen still. I didn't know where we were going to go from there. And that's how I felt walking around on the Strip the early morning of October 2nd, and that's how I felt for a long time after that. But going to a show a few days later helped normalize things, to see a packed house enjoying themselves again, as they should be doing in Las Vegas every night. I suppose brought me back to what my objective is. And that first night that I saw them, you know, Donnie and Marie came out before the show started and said a few words. They ended up dedicating all the proceeds that night to the families of the victims of the shooting. And I did record those comments, and I can't find them. I can't find that audio. But Donnie Osmond said that a theater is a place where people come to dream in public, and we as entertainers are in charge of that dream. So we hope for the next 90 minutes or so, Marie and I and our entire cast can take you to a place where there are no problems. That's what show business is all about. That's why we're here. And I actually ended up going to several other shows that week. It was a very busy week. And many of the same sentiments were expressed from on stage and from the audience. And it was very reassuring and helped me realize that Las Vegas wasn't going anywhere and isn't going anywhere. And yeah, I just like thinking about that quote, "That's why we're here." And that's kind of my mission too. That's why I'm here. So congratulations to Donnie and Marie and everyone at the Flamingo on this incredible success of a residency. I would be shocked if they didn't come back to play Vegas again at some point in the future, whether it's a limited engagement or a few concerts or a one-off or another residency in a different place. It won't be the same as it was in this room in the Flamingo, but they're just too good and they're too perfect for Vegas to be gone forever.
We're going to close this.
Do you remember the first day we came in and saw this stage?
I do. That was 11 years ago. All right. May tomorrow. One more time. May tomorrow be a perfect day.
May we find love and laughter along the way.
May God keep you in His tender care.
Till He brings us together again.
Good night,
everybody.
Now it is time for your weekend rundown. Let's start big and get smaller. The Golden Knights host Edmonton on Saturday at T-Mobile Arena, and on Sunday, the MGM Main Event college basketball event kicks off there. It's a few days of hoops featuring Wyoming, Colorado, Clemson, and TCU. Aerosmith is at Park Theater, Mariah Carey's doing her Christmas show at the Coliseum, and Boyz II Men are back at the Mirage. MGM Grand Garden Arena has a big fight this weekend, Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz on Saturday, and Slayer is going to play that room next week on Wednesday. You can always find more weekend entertainment options every Friday with my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Sun on the Strip. I'll be back next week and every Wednesday with all the news and fun from Las Vegas Boulevard. Until then, go to LasVegasSun.com and click on Entertainment for everything you need to know about Vegas shows, music, nightlife, food, and much more. You can reach me at Brock.Radke at LasVegasSun.com. Have a great week.